She's jet-lagged and on just 4 hours sleep. But today, as I meet again with Svetlana Tihanovskaya, the exiled leader of the pro-democracy movement in Belarus.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
She holds a weary yet steely expression on her face. In front of her sits a binder with a massive photo of another face on the front, that of her husband, Sergei, who's been imprisoned in Belarus since 2020.
Time to time, you feel exhausted, you feel overstressed. Sometimes you think you don't have no more strength, you know, to continue. But I look into his eyes. I remember that he doesn't have opportunity, you know, to do anything at all. And just it's like this pain transforms into energy. And you wake up and go and fight.
Her fight to end political persecution in her home country is what brings her again to Washington, nearly 3 years after she challenged authoritarian leader Alexander Lukashenko in the Belarusian presidential election and accused him of rigging the vote. Since then, Lukashenko has waged a brutal crackdown on opposition figures. Some 1,400 are in prison. Others, like Tihanovskaya, are in exile. She would face at least 15 years in prison herself, were she to return home. This month, a court in Belarus tried her in absentia. She was convicted of treason and other crimes.
I have to say that this sentence doesn't mean anything to me because it doesn't have anything to do with justice.
Belarus, a former Soviet republic, has long been strategically aligned with Russia. So now, as Tihanovskaya explained to me today, the stakes for opposing Lukashenko are even higher.
Now people are getting awful sentences, 5, 10, 15, even 20 years in jail just for opposing the regime. And those people who are supporting Ukrainians, for example, are also considered to be enemies of this regime, like a young guy who donated 20 euros for Ukrainian army was sentenced to 5 years. I'm sure that all our political prisoners will be released one day, but now we have to accumulate our strength, accumulate international assistance, you know, to not just to fight, but to win this fight.
Your country, Belarus, and Ukraine are neighbors. Your country is just to the north of Ukraine. And Belarus has not sent troops to Ukraine, but has supported Russia in other ways, including allowing Russian troops to be based in Belarus. How closely tied are the futures of your country and Ukraine? Like, how much will how this war eventually ends in Ukraine determine the future of your country?
So first of all, I ask the democratic world to distinguish between Belarusian regime and Belarusian people. This is Belarusian regime who provided our territory for Russian troops to attack Ukraine. It's Lukashenko and his thugs who are providing facilities and infrastructure and giving territory for Russian military drills. And he became full accomplice to Putin in this war, and he has to bear the full responsibility for this. But of course, the outcome of the war in Ukraine might influence the situation in Belarus. Because now Lukashenko fully relies on Putin's political and economical support. And when Ukraine wins, Putin will be weakened, and hence Lukashenko will be weakened. But also, I think that changes in Belarus might come even earlier than the war in Ukraine is over. But we need more attention. We need more assistance. We need more bravery from our international partners, you know, to speak out on our independence and to bring Lukashenko to accountability.
And that's, I'm speaking to you here in Washington today. Who are you here to meet? What are you here to ask for specifically?
So I came here on invitation of the Congress. I will...
Who invited you?
I will meet with the Speaker of the House, also representatives and senators who are members of the Belarusian caucus here. Also, I will meet officials from the State Department to discuss their strategy for Belarus. Because now we see that Belarus is overlooked it seems that it left for one day later. You know, let's deal with Ukraine at first and then we'll return to Belarus. But the fate of Ukraine and fate of Belarus are interconnected, and there will be no peace and security in the region until Belarus is free. So now we are asking our partners to demand withdrawal of Russian troops, not only from Ukraine, but also from Belarus.
On that point, how would that work? What would that look like? I mean, the U.S. is not in Belarus to be able to kick Russian troops out. So what exactly are you asking for?
Yes, but U.S. is not in Ukraine as well. But they are huge supporters of Ukrainians in this war. So we are asking to create multiple points of the pressure on the regime through sanctions, through political isolation, and to increase assistance to Belarusian people who are fighting to this regime. Because dictators perceive this silence as impunity. You know, they feel free to act as they want. And only when they see that democratic countries are united in their demands, in their decisions, so it threatens dictators.
A personal question, if I may. The last time I interviewed you was 2021, and you told me you were struggling to explain to your older child, your son, where his father was, his father being your husband, Sergei, who was the first member of the family to run for president of Belarus, and was imprisoned and remains in prison. What is the conversation with your son like now?
Of course, now my older son and younger daughter, who is 7, now know the truth, of course, because I had to explain, because they are writing letters to their daddy. And it's very important for me that, you know, my husband feels the presence of the children in his life at the moment. From their letters, he knows that his younger daughter is starting to write. You know, I ask her to draw pictures with the bright colors, because I explain that everything is dull around him, gray walls. He doesn't see blue sky. You know, just remind him that what colors exist.
What does your daughter draw for him?
Usually she draws pictures where all the members of our family are present. You know, even if we are on vacation, for example, you know, he's not with us, but she's drawing that he's swimming with us, that he's like on the plane with us, because I'm sure that she pretends that he's nearby.
And what about you? Can you speak to him by phone? When was the last time you heard your husband's voice?
It was autumn 2020. Since then, I didn't have opportunity to communicate. The only chance to send my love to him is through a lawyer who visits him once a week. Just as we call, the lawyers now are a very expensive postman, because they, you know, deliver. Yeah, this is our reality. And, you know, just it's our everyday life. And I really don't want the world to forget about what's going on in Belarus. You know, this fight for freedom is not the local one. It's the like moral obligation of all the countries who are especially powerful countries, you know, to protect those who are on their difficult path for changes.
Svetlana Tihanovskaya, thank you.
Thank you.
Exiled opposition leader Svetlana Tihanovskaya of Belarus.